A lovely good morning to all of you. It's a wonderful privilege once again to be here with you to worship the Lord our God, but also to hear him addressing us from his word. Longing for home, and Genesis 50 will be the text that we'll be looking at, but let's pray together. We thank you, O Lord, our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence in our midst this morning. We thank you for your word, which is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, that it pierces to the division of bone and marrow, soul and spirit, that it discerns the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts, that before you everything is laid bare, and there is a day that is coming that you are the God that with whom we have to do. O Lord, we pray that when that day comes, we will be ready, that we will all be found in Christ, clothed in his righteousness alone, and faultless to stand before your throne. So on Christ, the solid rock, we stand, because we are convinced that all other ground is sinking sand. We thank you that you have placed us here in this particular part of the world for a purpose. May you accomplish your purposes in and through our lives. And help us to remember that we were made for another world, that this world is not our home. We are simply passing through, that our home is with you. And may you increase our longing for home, we pray. Pardon graciously all of our sins, even as we also forgive those who sinned against us. And may your blessings abound to us this morning. And may you use us to bless others for Jesus' sake. Amen. Longing for home. I would like to encourage you this morning to think about where it is that you really belong. Last week, we looked at Joseph's life. For those of you who were here, you remember that message, how we saw God's wise and amazing providence in the life of Joseph, how he was powerfully and miraculously, amazingly moved from the pit to the prison to the palace. You remember that message, don't you? At the beginning of his life, he had such a difficult time. And he came to a point in the pit and in the prison where, humanly speaking, all of his dreams had died, and he was only but a young man, under 30. And no matter how good he tried to do things, no matter what he did, things just kept going wrong. Trouble after trouble, trouble after trouble. But God intervened and stopped the cycle of all these things that were happening and transformed his life. This man who was forgotten, abandoned by his own family, put in jail unjustly, was now lifted up by God and put in the palace, second in command to Pharaoh. And God used Joseph as a means of blessing to his family and to the entire nation of Israel, the Jewish people. And through him, God fulfilled his purposes. And now, humanly speaking, you'd think, ah, my life has been so hard. Now, finally, I have peace. Finally, I have prosperity. Finally, I can live my dreams. And you would totally forget about home, totally forget about where you came from and where it is that you're going. But I look at this text and I am impressed by this man, Joseph. That even though he had been in Egypt for so many years and he had so much power and prosperity and things were going well and he was living a life that anybody, I'm sure, in Egypt would want to live, would make anybody jealous, because I'm sure he had servants all around serving him. He probably just press a button and food would come. Another button and another servant comes to do this and the other for him. Even though life was so good for him, Joseph did not forget where his home was, where he had come from. He did not forget who he was. So I'm impressed as I read in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24. Let your eyes drop to that text. And I want us to read together verse 24 and 25 and then 26. Let's read together out loud, please. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin. Longing for home, living in view of eternity. That's the text. That's a focus that we have this morning. Joseph said, even though my life has been so amazingly transformed and I have this place of power and authority and prosperity, I do not want to be here forever. And he remembered something that God had said to his forefather Abraham, the promise that he had made to Isaac and to Jacob, his immediate father, his own father. That one day, that a day would come when God would take the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt back to their own land, the land of promise, the land that God had swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And he says, I don't belong here. This is not my home. And my heart aches and longs to see that place. But if I die in this place, even if I die in this place, take my bones back home. My bones need to get back home. If I should die in this land, I want you to take my bones back home. His father Jacob had done the same thing. You know, he was buried in the, you know, out of Egypt when he died, and Joseph was among his brothers, taking the remains, we could say, the remains of his father, back home. And he saw that example. Again, it speaks to us fathers and what examples we set for our children in the faith. But Joseph did not forget where he came from. And so he says, promise me that you will take my bones from this place. And so he took an oath with the children of Israel saying, God will surely visit you. He had faith in the promise of God that one day he will visit his children and bring them to the land of promise. I'm not going to preach long this morning, but I want to just quickly draw your attention to this fact. And this is really all I want us to think about today. Let's read together Philippians chapter 3. The third chapter of Philippians. And verse 20. The Bible says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Other translations say, "For our citizenship." So think of conversation. "For our citizenship is in heaven, and from whence," from there, "we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21, "who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things." Another text I want us to look at, Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I'm just trying to lay down here the groundwork for the message that we have before us. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And then John chapter 14 and verse 1, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to his disciples. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Now let me pause. Let's pause there. And I want to ask you this question. Do you believe what we've just read? Yes. Do you believe what we've just read? Our citizenship is in heaven. Do not be conformed to this world. In other words, you are in the world, but you are not of the world. And then Jesus is speaking to the disciples, just before he is taken back home through the cross, through the grave, he says to them, "Don't worry. Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I'm going to prepare a place for you, a home for you." And the reason is, if I go, he says, "if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And I want to submit to you this point, that it has always been God's desire, God's longing to be with his people. Are you with me? It has always been God's longing, God's desire to be with his people. Go back to Genesis. He made Adam and Eve and put them in this beautiful garden. And every day God would come and visit with them. In the cool of the day, to fellowship with them. He enjoyed his creation so much. He enjoyed Adam and Eve so much. Not that God needed them. He didn't need anything from them. But he simply loved them and simply enjoyed them and wanted to bless them by his own presence with them. And so every day in the cool of the day, he would come and fellowship with Adam and Eve until sin came in and distorted everything. But God's heart still aches to fellowship with his people. When Adam and Eve had sinned, God, because he is holy and righteous, he had to kick him out of the garden. The Bible says he had to drive them out of the garden. It almost implies there was a bit of resistance, perhaps. But even as he was driving them out of the garden, the purpose was that so he could bring them back clean and redeemed and holy and just before him. This has always been God's heart, God's desire for his people, to be with his people. And I'll prove this to you. If you go back to the end of the Bible, one of the powerful passages I love in the book of Revelation is at the very end of that book, where we read, when the final days come, when the end comes, God will dwell with his people. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and he will dwell with his own people. And so this should speak to us. This should encourage us and challenge us to always be living our lives in view of eternity. To not so set our minds on earth so much so that we forget where we really belong. See, to live, to truly live, L-I-V-E, is to live in view of eternity. Do you remember? I was not made for this world. You were not made for this world. You were made for another world. We must not be, as someone said, we must not be so earthly minded to be of no heavenly use. And by the same token, we must not be so heavenly minded to be of no earthly use. We are here for a purpose. God has put us here. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. So we have to keep a balance. And that's what you see in the life of Joseph. He was in Egypt doing what he'd been called to do as prime minister in Egypt. But nevertheless, he remembered. As good as Egypt is, this is not my home. And friends, you and I are blessed to be found in one of the most beautiful places in the world. Beautiful British Columbia. Every day you're driving, there are reminders in front of you. You see the license plates. Beautiful British Columbia. And you look around, you see the trees, the mountains, you see the rivers. And it's just amazing. The weather is wonderful. Even though now it's a little bit hot. It's been hot this week. But we live in a very beautiful place, and it's so easy for us to forget where we belong. And this happens to us. We are, I think, very familiar with this in our own physical life. Many of us were not born in this country. And some of us have lived here so long that people looking at us don't even think about the fact that we came from somewhere else. And we've been here so long that we ourselves, in our own thinking, we just operate as if we've always lived here. Everything here has now become second nature. We don't even think about which side of the road to drive, the kind of foods that are available around us, the language we use to speak, and so many other things. And it's so easy for people to be here so long and forget where they've come from. You dress the same, you eat the same food, you drive the same cars, you go the same jobs, and you're flourishing, you're prospering. And that can happen with our spiritual lives, that we have been in the world for so long that we've forgotten that we have a home in heaven. This world, Jim Reeves wrote the song, "This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up in heaven above." And the Savior is waiting. You know, Jesus, who came and lived in this world, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, he died, he was buried, and he rose again and went back home. Jesus is longing for that day when he will be reunited with all of his people from every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue. And if that is the heart of Jesus, what more for us? And friends, I speak for myself, and I hope I speak for you as well. I am tired of this place. I am ready to go home. And if should the Lord take me home today, I have no complaints, because I know that's where I belong. If it so pleases that it pleases him that I should stay here, I am here to serve him, to serve his purposes. But when that day comes, Lord, I pray that I will be ready to go. And that I will not look back at anything. And even if I have to be carried by my bones only, Lord, take me home. In the book of Hebrews, in the chapter 11, as we call this the hallmark of faith, you know, the people of faith are put there for our instruction, for our encouragement. And Joseph's name is there, that he even gave instruction concerning his bones. Verse 22 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, verse 22, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He appears in this chapter among these people of faith. And we all know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. What is this faith that Joseph had? It is faith, as the chapter, verse 1 of chapter 11 of Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's all that Joseph had. He had nothing but the promise of God. And he lived every day of his life holding on to that promise, because he was convinced that God is faithful. When he came to Egypt, he had no idea that he would live there so long. When Jacob and his sons came, they didn't know that they were going to live there 430 years. But they knew one thing, that no matter how long or short their time in Egypt was going to be, God had promised that he will come and visit them one day and take them out. And so even when suffering came and they began to really feel the pain when the other Pharaoh came who did not know Joseph, they cried out to God because they believed that he is faithful to perform his word. But we're looking at Joseph here. He believed that God would carry out his purposes. And he did not let prosperity cause him to forget that. So there are two things, two enemies to our faith: prosperity and trials. These work to eat away at our faith. When you are going through difficult times, it's very easy to question God, to question his word and his promises and his faithfulness. And you can forget all those things and begin going astray, living as if you belong here. When life is going well, as it may be for perhaps many of us here, it's also easy to forget God and to think that your destiny is now in your own hands and that this is where you belong. But whether we're going through trials or going through prosperous times, we must all remember this is not our home. And our longing should be for home. Our longing should be for that day when we shall dwell in the presence of God, when we shall see him, our Savior, face to face in all his glory and majesty. And that every single day we are conscious of the fact that we were made for another world. I want to mention something here that I think is obvious to all of us, but it's worth reminding ourselves, and that is this. In many countries, you can be a citizen of this country and a citizen of another country. And perhaps a number of you here have two passports. We call that dual citizenship. Where I come from, no. You are either a citizen of Malawi or of another country. In my country, my home country, Malawi, the laws are very strict. You cannot have dual citizenship. And I want to say to you, friends, that is how it is with our faith. There is no dual citizenship. You are either a citizen of heaven or you are a citizen of this world. Which are you? And how are you living your life? If you are a citizen of heaven, you cannot have also earthly citizenship. Paul writes, we read together, our citizenship is in heaven. However good things get here, I pray that you will not forget where you belong. That you are made for another world. That though you are here, you are in fact a citizen of heaven. That God has you here for a purpose, but there is a day when he's coming to take you home. And that is something that all of us can look forward to with encouragement. That as we look around and we see all the degeneration around us that causes us to be depressed, perhaps we look around, we see all the sin that surrounds us, we remember we don't belong here. We belong to heaven. And God will surely fulfill his word and bring us all into his presence, into his glory, because of Jesus Christ, his Son, who came and lived for us a life that we could not live for ourselves. And he died a death that we should have died to bring us to God. May God bless his word to us, to his glory. Amen. Father, we praise your name for this reminder We ask, O God, that your Spirit would take this word and make it to bear fruit in our lives. For Jesus' sake, amen.